Let's start it then. Let's pray in silence. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us continue the second hour. Let's sing him 457. So we're doing the chapter 2, John chapter 2. Point 1 is a Cana. One end or two end? One end. Thank you. And then the other one is temple cleansing, you can see. Spirit temple, can see. Cana, the one that will change water to wine is a physical phenomenon, but it by the power of God, the change the water to wine. The sixth pot, there's a big, that Jesus asked the servant, say, fill up all the pot. So the servant filled all the pot. Later when he give it to the guests, so they drink it. How come you save this good, you know, quality wine? You're supposed to serve the good one first and the worst one later, but you save the best one for the later ones. Nobody know, but servant knew that, because they are the one fill up the pot. They know they are filled up with the water, but it turned to be wine. They knew that. So once, when we receive the grace of God, if we submit to God, and then when we experience, if we are the one who know, this is the grace of God. Once we receive the grace of God, we can share with others. But the one who received personally is more intense, is more blessings. I'm sorry, but it's a lousy triangle. It's not big deal. So it's okay. But you can think about it as a joy. This joy, water to change the wine is a joy. When God help us supply us what we need in our life, it is a blessing. Physically, we receive a lot of things with blessing. When you finish your college, it is a blessing. It is a miracle of God. Some people are very smart, but they cannot finish. Some people are not smart, but they finish. Some people, they are not that smart yet, they can get a good job. Some people is very smart, yet they cannot get a job. Some people, they have a lot of money, but when do the business, they lose everything. Some people have no money, but when start the business, they get all the monies. Everything is come from God. You don't think that, you know, blessing is come from ourselves. Everything is come from God. Whenever we have nothing, something, they all, it depends. This is very, not absolute, but the thing is, God is with us, then this is absolute. It is a true blessing and security for our Christian life. So in the Cana, water to wine, you think about it. This is physically, maybe we can, God bless us. But the important thing is our heart, within our heart, the temple of God. When the temple of God is collapsed, then we lose everything that moment. Once the temple of God is ruined, then there's no such blessing at all. So once you look at the John chapter 5, the 38 years of suffering or sickness, but there's so many people still seeking for the God's grace. But that time, because the communicate with God was collapsed. You know, the temple of God, the function is almost collapsed at that time, because all the priests and all these people, not all of them, yeah, but most of them, we can say. And all the Pharisees, Sadducees, they are the ones that they're very faithful, you know, faithfully stick to God, but they lost the true substance. So joy was lost at that time. And because this is one phenomenon, the temple of God, they all already mess up with so-called merchants, those who, but you have noticed all of them, actually, all the business actually relate with the temple. Have you noticed that? Money changers, or like, you know, those are, once you look at this, is all connecting with the temple. But they are supposed not to be in the temple. The issue is here. Sometimes we're trying to compromise our heart. But this much is okay, because it's related. But we have to clarify it ourselves. The joy, when we have a, you and I, we experience that when we have a pure heart, the joy coming into our heart. But when we are seeking something else, still you can work for God. True? You have enough intellectually enough. You have enough knowledge about the Bible. Yes, you have nothing wrong within yourself. You come to Sabbath every day. It seems like your out appearance, you're very perfect yourself. You can serve God. But if your heart is not pure, if you have something else in your mind, irrelated. Of course, it related to the temple of God. But your heart is not, truly your heart is not pure enough. Your temple is start to ruin. Maybe because you go home, you think about yourself, and you come to church, it seems like you work a lot, and then you go home, you think about yourself, what am I doing now? Am I doing the God's work? Is it truly what my work is glorify Him? Or something behind a different issue, different interest, or different agenda within me? We have to think about it. The best way how we can serve God is, this is what I learned after 10 years of helping the church. It's best we can have a go back to empty-handed. It is a blessing. Once we go back to empty-handed, God bless us. Sometimes I seem kind of too much holding myself. When I'm holding something, then I make mistake. I learned that. So it's good to let it go. True victory is not because you get something, so you accomplish something. True blessing is not that. Make your vessel to be prepared for yourself to serve God. As long as God uses you, then thank God. There's no more and no less there. So whatever God uses you, then thank God. You can show that your thanksgiving to God. And then God bless you. Anyway, because the second one is the temple cleansing. Jesus cleansed the temple. Do you think after that, these people coming back to temple, or they say, wow, Jesus come here to cleanse temples, I better not to go back to temple. What do you think? I'm sure these people go back to temple. Because that's their business. So we can understand this temple cleansing, that Jesus, just clear out the temple. My house is not the house of merchant. My house is a house of prayer. Book of Luke says, temple cleansing is Jesus showing here, symbolically shows us that your temple of God has to be cleansed. Your temple of God has to be holier. Your temple is only seeking God. So your prayer can reach up to God. God do not listen to the sinner's prayer. Do you remember the book of John? Somebody says that. Anybody knows? God do not listen to the sinner's prayer. Born blind man. Do you remember? Born blind man. Because I try to do my best to stick into the book of John. But don't think that, because I stay in the John chapter 2, so I do not cover the John book of John. I keep covering John chapter 9. Let's look at the John chapter 9. What verse is that? I cannot find a verse. Can you find it for me? No? 31, thank you. 31, it says, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, he hear Him. So God do not listen to the sinner's prayer. So that's why temple cleansing is important. I'm sure because you remember when you are E2, right? When you are E2 and J1, J2. First few days of struggling, you don't like to pray, Of course, the NYT is different. When you come, even you determine yourself come, because you've grown up, you understand that this event, so you have to prepare even before you come here. But when you are E2, when you come to SSC, just until the next day, until the before, you can just play a game, killing game, but and then you come to the church, suddenly you say pray, the prayer doesn't work. It takes at least 2 or 3 days, your heart coming into God, cleanse ourselves. Let's look at the one more verse. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Verse from 14 is better. First Peter chapter 1 from verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust, which were you are in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We'll just continue, of course it's mentioned about that, but we can finish it. Temple cleansing. We have to be holy. As long as your life is holy, God holds you. God protects you. You are in a security of God then. This is a true blessing. So joy, you always think about the joy. Where the source of joy? Joy is not come from this world. Joy is come from God. The joy come from above is unremovable. No one can take away this joy. But the things that come from this world is very mostly like attached with our flesh. All those kind of happy. We can say things that in this world, of course, in a sense, make our life very comfortable, also convenient. But joy is different. When I, when we, you know, those are third country, those are the, you know, those are the believers. They have nothing, yet they are very joyful. They are very joyful. So why? Where does this joy come from? Because God sending them this joy and peace in their heart by the Holy Spirit. So remember, we erase it better. Chapter 14, 15, 16. Jesus mentioned that I will send you the helper to give you the true peace within you. No one can take away. Also the spirit of the truth lead you into the truth. When you receive the truth, because your eyes open, because your spiritual eyes open, you can feel the excitement. When you do not know the truth, then you struggle. That's why the Bible is a light. Word of God is like a light. You know, so showing you your path. So become your life joyful. When we don't know what to do, then we are very struggle at that moment. But we know what you're supposed to do. You can see your front, what you're supposed to do. You can see that there is a direction in your life. Then you're so joyful because you know the answer. Then you can be very joyful. It comes from the temple cleansings. If you clean our heart, we can see ourselves, we can see our God. The relationship we can redefine with Him. So the joy has come from here. The rejoice always. Now Paul the Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, thanksgiving all the time. These 3 points is together where it comes from. Come from our cleanse our heart. So we have to be pure ourselves. Remember, you and I, we all purchased by the blood of Jesus. So if you and I, we think that I am the own boss, then from then on we have a trouble. Yeah. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 17. But the one who joined himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. 18. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man committed is outside the body. But the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? That you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This is our goal. Let us keep in mind that this word is given from God. Of course, this one's written by the Paul, but this message directly to us in our heart. So let us remember our life is not our own. Always remember. So whenever you make a decision, ask God. Don't think that you're very smart. it's better not to be smart. Do you know what I mean? So you can come to God, ask Him. So that let the God can help you, so that He can choose the way, a path for you. Then it becomes a blessing. The last SSC, last time SSC I mentioned that in West Coast, you know the when Joshua, he sent some thousand people to take over Ai, the little city. But they failed. I forgot how many people died, but they already the casualty already arise from their own people, and then Joshua think, what's going on? Why these things happens? God bring us into this land of Canaan. Why we cannot conquer? Even before we conquered in Jericho, but this Ai, the city of Ai is very small. Why we cannot conquer this little city? They find out because of Achan's sin. When they conquered Jericho, he secretly hid things that the precious one into the under the tent. But God revealed his sins. So Joshua removed the sins from the Israel. After that, God helped them. So and then after that, they destroyed the Ai. After that, Joshua made the monument there. So let this battle to be memory for the whole Israel, for the whole in the future, all their futures. You know, have you noticed that when the book of Joshua, you read it, you find it, after Joshua conquered Jericho, they do not put any monuments. Of course, we don't study the book of Joshua, so it's okay, you don't have to. No. But once you find out, you can tell. Joshua do not put any monuments. But after the Ai was destroyed, Joshua, they put there's the monuments. Because Joshua wants to remember this battle. This battle is a small battle. It's not a big one. Not like the conquered Jericho. But they put the monument with the stones. Because he wants to remember. Oh, before we made a big battles, we can make a victory there. But yet, when their sin is within Israel, and then trying to conquer the little city, but it didn't work because of sin. So when God removed the sin, after that, this little city was destroyed. So Joshua wants to remember this one. Do you know the instance? Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. Verse 31, just the Moses, the servant of the Lord had commanded the son of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar, uncut stone on which no one had wielded an iron tool, and they offered the burnt offering on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offering. So here the Joshua made a peace offering, but after the Jericho's conquered, there's no such things. But this time, the Joshua made a peace offering. They made an altar there. There's a true altar. So altering is a temple. It's a temple of God. But after cleanse, and then make the victories, and then set the altar to God. It's a holy altar. For the remember also for this battle. Now, because it's a spiritual temple, now you and I, we are... of course, this building is we dedicate to God. This belongs to God. But important thing is, the true temple of God is those baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and all the saints together. That's a church. So church is the beginning with myself, and then our family, and then church. Yeah. So we have to be holy. We have to be true worshiper. If we lost this the spirit of true worshiper, then God do not accept us, our offering. Then there's no more joy. Have you noticed that when you are engaged too much in the world, or too much stress from your study or things in this world, that you, when you come to the Lord, you can feel that God is distant from you. It seems that there's no such kind of movement in our heart. It happens. Let's turn to book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your body a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, chapter 2, remember, chapter 2 is a focus on the joy. And Jesus, he can destroy the physical temple. Physical temple has to be destroyed anyway. If the temple now in Jerusalem, if Israel, they build the temple there, then it becomes an idol worship place. Do you know what I mean? Because this one turned to be idol worship place. Because it seems like God is in Jerusalem. No, God is everywhere. Wherever our heart, the temple of God within us, then God is there. So that's the chapter 2. Now we can go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Takes quite time to. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, we know because it's a Nicodemus. How can make a 3? It's born again. Easy AI. Okay. Something missing, I feel. A, right? Okay, right. Whiteboard is challenge. Yeah, it's born again. And also the message is Jesus came to this world. So it's come to this world to save us. From chapter 3, verse 16, this very famous, the statements mentioned, right? Jesus came, the begotten Son, come to this world to actually for save us, for the salvation from above. Not salvation, Savior from above, it's better. A savior came. Same thing. Savior came. Born again, savior come. And the witness of John. There's a witness of John's. John the Baptist. John the Baptist witness. Born again is the only way to come into the salvation. If anybody wants to go get into the eternity, has to be born again with water and the spirit. So those who do not believe and the salvation cannot be reached to them. I'm talking about here the promise of salvation. Talking about the promise of salvation. So unless born, once the person heard about our truth, then they rejected, then there's no salvation. Because we cannot, our salvation is not because we are great. No one can be great. Everybody is a sinner. So that means no one can have an own way to be saved. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, it's impossible. Remember the firstborn, we are all firstborn. We belong to God because we apply the blood of the Lamb. So no one can be out of that law. So the born again, this born again is a spirit. It's not a flesh. So that's why Jesus in John chapter 3, and Jesus mentioned that verse 6 says that the which is the born of flesh is flesh, the which is the born of spirit is a spirit. So born again is the issue about the spirit. Yeah. And then once you look at the verse 13 and 14, this verse 13 and 14 is a, this is a, verse 13 and 14 says, and no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. Anybody, do you remember anybody went up to heaven? Enoch? Yeah, after he walked with God for 300 years, he went up. Anybody else? Elijah, he went to 2 Kings chapter 1, 2, and then Elisha followed, and then he just went up to heaven. Right? What is the heaven then? Do you think that's the heavenly kingdom, or where is it? It is a paradise. No one can reach to heavenly kingdom yet. Remember in the John chapter 14, I go to prepare for this place, then I'll come back, and then will bring you to there. Because kingdom of heaven is those who reject, I mean, not reject, sorry, those who resurrect from the death. And then after we receive him, and then we go there. That's kingdom of heaven. So those who lift them up to the heaven, in the book, you know, the Old Testament mentioned that, do not understand as a heavenly kingdom, but that's a paradise. Because their soul is taken up to the paradise. So when Jesus died on the cross, the next one says, you will be, today you will be paradise with me, right? So paradise is the place that we go. When Apostle Paul, remember he went up to the third heaven? That's a paradise. So the place once we die, we go is a paradise. Remember when Jesus went up to the Mount Figuration? Mount Figuration that he, somebody was there. Somebody. Moses and Elijah. This is the symbolical expression of the whole, we can say Old Testament. But the people, the major figure at the time. So. But they are all in the paradise. Paradise. John chapter 3, verse 13 says, and no one has ascended into heaven. Because the heavenly kingdom is not yet, none of them can go. And then after the verse 13 says, 14, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man be lifted up. Now he explained about the Savior's figure. The Savior, he himself came to this world as like a serpent lifted up, like a bronze serpent. That's his job. His main job as a perfect man to be as he himself. So he died. This is what he's going to do in the near future. So he actually explained. Yeah. And then after that, the Jesus talking about the verse 16. Many Christians use this verse 16. But do not talk about the verse 18 and 9. The verse 18. Because too scared. That he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yeah. And then after that, verse 22 here on the John, this is John, John the last testimony is mentioned that. But once you can see the verse from 22, it said the two side of the people baptized. Have you seen that? After these things, that Jesus and his disciple came into the land of Judea, and they were spending time with them and baptizing. And John also was baptizing in the Enon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they were coming, and the water being baptized. Have you noticed the two sides of the baptism now? Jesus baptizes the disciple. One side is the John the Baptist baptized them. I ask you, John the Baptist, when he baptized, with whose name then? This baptism come from heaven, sure. Jesus even testing them, right? Challenged them. Do you think of the John the Baptist, this baptism come from heaven or from man? This baptism come from heaven too, but then there's a limitations. This baptism, John the Baptist, this baptism has a limitation, is because he cannot use the name of Jesus to be baptized at that time. Sir. Sure. So he just baptized people coming in, just baptized them for the repentance. Just only repentance. Then this is what is it then? If there's no forgiveness of their sin. Anybody think about that? This baptism. John the Baptist, this baptism. Just only repent. What do you think? Let's look at the book of Luke. Since I just want to... Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So you can find out here, this is a repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. It comes from heaven, there's authority. So the people who baptized by the John the Baptist, their sin is forgiven. Then I say, oh, come on, you teach the heresy. Or what I'm talking about is their original sin cannot be forgiven. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ not applied to them. But also, once they come to the John the Baptist, they baptize, their sin is forgiven by the moment, but their future sin cannot be forgiven. Just like this is a function, it's just like Old Testament. Remember the high priest will get into the holy and holy place for the once a year for the forgiveness of their sin. Actually, all the Israelites, the sin is forgiven each year, every year. And also the Israelites, they commit sin and they bring the animal to kill the animal for the blood and they make a burnt offering to God for the sin offering and guilty offering. Their sin is forgiven. Right? But future sin is not included there. The one that they commit sins at that moment, that sin is forgiven. Do you know what I mean? It makes sense? So that's why once they commit sin, they have to bring another animal to kill and then another sin offering. It makes sense to you? So, but that's also a transitional period. So the John the Baptist, in a sense, a little bit harsh, but John the Baptist is kept because of the King Herod, put him into jail and beheaded. Because according to the God's way, his work has to be done right there. His work continue, then has problems. Has to be stopped there. So that's why John chapter 3, verse 30, he understood. He must increase, but I must decrease. My work has to be done here. My work has to be finished up here. He knows that. This is a great wisdom. It comes from the Spirit of God. Definitely. Of course, it comes from his humility. But at the same time, Jesus baptized his disciple. How is it possible that, you know, that Jesus not die yet on the cross? Do you do you Do you know what I mean? Jesus not die on the cross yet. Yet Jesus baptized his disciple. What do you think when Jesus baptized his disciple? In the name, he baptized, of course in the Bible doesn't say, I know that in the name of Jesus. He baptized in the name of Jesus. That's why all his disciples say, in the name of Jesus, baptized. They have experience. They baptized from the Jesus. Or here. So chapter 4, verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that the Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John. Now we can ask here another issue. So you can think about, you know, the previous there. Jesus' disciple now performing the baptism before even Jesus died. This is by the authority of Jesus then. Because Jesus himself of course, when he baptized in the John the Baptist, heaven was open, he received the Holy Spirit from above. The Spirit of God, that's why the Spirit of God, the work of the Holy Spirit beyond time and space. It makes sense? The Spirit of God is beyond time and space. Then you think about it, when Jesus, before he died, you know, on the Last Supper, remember, he prepared for the Last Supper of the Holy Communion. This is my body, this is my blood. Before he died. But it makes sense to them. It makes sense to us. Because he's the one who has the Holy Spirit. He's God himself, of course. So, even before he died, the blood of Jesus, this blood of Jesus come to his disciple. Even the Holy Communion. And also his baptism too. So remember, the Holy Spirit work beyond time, beyond the time and space. So you don't have to be confused this part. Of course, some of them maybe never thought about it, just passing through the reader, just maybe as it is. But once you think about it, it makes sense. Everything. There's nothing. Nothing can be troubled. So we can think about this baptism. Baptism is so precious to us. You know, the Old Testament time God made a covenant between the Abraham and God, remember? With the covenant of the circumcisions. So in Genesis chapter 17, God made a covenant. This covenant is one-way covenant. If you don't do it, then whether you are whether you are Abraham or not, doesn't matter. You are cut away from the God's people. That's covenant. So this one is Genesis chapter 17 from verse 9, 10, 11, 12, this until 14. You can see that here. After 8 days, then has to have these circumcisions. Even that's a Sabbath day, they do the circumcision. Jesus mentioned that, right? Even Jesus, in John chapter 7, even Jesus talked to the Jewish people, they say. Even you do even Sabbath, do the work. Don't you think, you know, do the circumcision is the work? But my father work always. He mentioned that. And then this circumcision is God defined as everlasting covenant. Once you look at the, you know, Genesis chapter 17, verse 13. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Can you see here the everlasting covenant? So do you remember during the time of first church that was established in Jerusalem? At that time, there is some kind of struggling. Because of the people who baptized, those who baptized as a Jewish, they insist those who are the, you know, the outside, you know, like the foreigners, they come to the Lord, they still have to circumcise. They insist, but it is not. That's why this has become an issue. So the Acts chapter 15, they gather together for the first time, they have a conference. So made a resolution there. You don't need, we don't give you any burden upon you. Yeah, so they mention about that. So this is everlasting covenant. Then how come is the everlasting covenant is a stop? Because Old Testament is coming all the way to the John the Baptist. And then this covenant, God wants to change the covenant. Which is the, he wants to give us a new covenant. This new covenant is with the blood of Lamb. This covenant. So we are within the new covenant. So that's why the, you know, Revelation chapter 22, the throne of the Lamb of God. Yeah. Is it talking about a picture of the new, under the new covenant? It's not the first, like, you know, the flesh at the beginning, his creation, the Garden of Eden, at that one. It's a difference. It's a new covenant. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. And in whomever, sorry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the death. Now here, and 13, and when you were dead in your transgressions and the circumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgression. Here the picture, you know, the Apostle Paul here put the picture together with the circumcisions. That now under the New Testament, the circumcision is not by hands, but by the blood of Jesus. This is the circumcision. This call is a new covenant. Let's look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, I think. Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 31 to 34. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse from 31 to 34. Behold, the day are coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32. Not like a covenant which I made with their father in the day I took them by the hands by hand to bring them out of the lands of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declared the Lord. Verse 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declared the Lord, I will put my law within them and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then verse 34 mentioned about the remove their sins, their iniquity. This is with the establishing of the new covenant with the Lamb of God, the one died as a Passover by the blood of Jesus, established this spiritual circumcision within our baptism. So physical circumcisions only apply unto John the Baptist. But after that, new covenant arise. When he died on the cross, now by the blood of the Lamb of God, we can be applied. So this is a circumcision which is by our baptisms. So circumcision is such a very important. Why out there, outside the Christian, they do not understand this part? I don't know. But this is because we are the Spirit of the truth lead us into the truth. Only we can understand that. The simple truth the Bible explains us, the new covenant clear. In Colossians chapter 2 clearly mentioned that importance of our baptisms. Very exclusively. I mean, very seriously, I guess. Yeah, I have to finish. No bells, I just... But I want to come later because today we have a next hour. So chapter 3, I want to explain this a little bit further here, this triangle. I like the triangle. So this one and then chapter 3, 4, 5 triangle. We can continue, enjoy the triangle this time then. Let's pray in silence. Amen.